Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Are you suggesting to me that heaven is actually a place?
Yes, sir.
Where is that place?
We don't know where it is exactly right
then
now.
Then why would you ask a question, where do I go?
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. No pie in the sky when you die by and by.
That is a mischaracterization of the Christian gospel that fits the social agenda, which gets all caught up in this world and fails to understand that we are to set our affections not on this world, but on the world to come.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Tom Friel.
Oof-ta. Barely nobody cleaned the coffee pot over vacation, that's for sure.
Todd.
Hey, Tony.
Hi. Time to start the show. 2, 3, 4.
Honestly. This is a Christian organization. Everybody else comes back from a little vacation. What do? They gather around the coffee pot, have a little chit-chat. How was your Christmas? Did you get anything cool? Go anywhere? How were the in-laws? They get to start their day off slow. But what about us? No. Here, you just want us to jump in and get started.
Okay. Let me do the right thing.
All right.
How was your Christmas?
Okay.
Did you get any cool?
No.
Go anywhere?
No. Not the point! The point is, you just want to kind of lull your day. And by the way, don't you dare wish me a Happy New Year. I believe neither in joy nor calendars, and I will be deeply offended if your salutation includes your little belief about a 365-day-a-year system, Pally. Happy New Year. Let's take a look back at 2012, shall we? The bad, and the, well, mostly bad, if you ask me. Were there any bright lights in 2012? Yeah, barely. Overall, I would like to suggest to you, I don't think that my position is as radical as some that I'm reading about, that it's pretty much the end of the world as we know it. Christianity is on the march. Jesus Christ is building his church. There was a study that was recently done taking a look at the world religions all over the globe, and I liked it because they did it in color. If only they could hide, like, little pictures of an axe and George Washington's head, an apple. If they'd hide that in this
you want the
picture,
old Highlight magazine is what
oh,
you want.
Oh, that would be really, really much better. But yeah, they showed basically Christianity is indeed growing, and it's growing all over the globe. And we should remember that just because things aren't maybe going so swift here in the West, that doesn't mean that Jesus is not busy. And it doesn't mean, too, by the way, that Jesus isn't active in his local church. Growing his church, the gates of hell will not prevail over it. So that, once again, I hate to give you the number one story of the year, but that really is the number one story. Jesus is not in a panic. He's holding the universe together by the power of his word. It is all under control. It is going exactly the way that he has prearranged for it to go, either causing it or allowing it to happen, just the way that he sovereignly desires. And we can rest in that. Short of that story, quite honestly, there weren't a lot of really, really good ones. Now, I will suggest this. I think 2013 could be a most excellent year if you and I would learn to stop kicking against the goads. And maybe instead, I just read a tweet by somebody. They said, hey, how's about this year we resolve, instead of just getting annoyed about a lot of stuff, the one thing we get angry at is the degradation of the gospel. Maybe that could chart our course for the year. My focus this year, now this is me, not you. My focus this year is I want to make sure that I'm centered in the gospel. I want to make sure that I'm getting involved as much as I can in my local church, that I am focusing on my family. Is that trademarked still? My zip code. That is what I'm going to be consumed with. And take a look at what is going on. Honestly, did you hear anything about this? Tony, maybe you know the Right after the election, they started talking about it. A couple of the news programs mentioned something about a mountain.
I am not saying fiscal cliff because
that's
that
the
be...
one right there.
Oh.
Okay. No talk about it. The election happens. Nothing but talk about the fiscal cliff. Okay. What? Why? Well, I can't even tell you why for sure. But has that not been the all-consuming obsession of every news? Every time I flip by it, it's like, oh, look at that fiscal cliff. Hey, what do you think about that? Do you think we're going to get a deal? These people in Washington, D.C. signed a piece of legislation an hour and 3 minutes before taxes were going to go up on everybody, especially those mean, horrible, rich people. Imagine if we started saying something like this. You know, those poor people, they need to start pulling their weight in this country. That's what they need to do. They need to start making more, paying more in taxes. They need to start working more. That's what those poor people need to do. You go, whoa, whoa, dude. Well, if you don't like that there's an attitude toward a socioeconomic group, what's good for the poor is good for the rich. I don't know where you fall in your response to your attitude about the rich. But you and I can have a Barack Obama attitude if we're not careful. Hey, the rich people, you know, the rich people. And here's how it shows up. You maybe, because you're kind of an Ayn Rand kind of person, you think, oh, no, with the rich, they're the job producers, and we've got our Rush Limbaugh talking points down. Hey, they're good for the economy. So maybe you're okay with the rich. But do you ever hear about a ministry that tries to focus on the rich, and you go, whoa, come on. What do you mean spending money to get to the rich people in the rich suburbs or in the high rises? And you hear about somebody who maybe has a strategy to try to actually reach rich people with the gospel, and there's a little something inside of you that goes, well, whatever. Because they're rich. It's very easy to cop an attitude toward the rich. I don't want to do that, like our president is. We don't do it toward the poor people. We shouldn't do it toward the middle class. We shouldn't do it toward the rich people, like they are doing these days. So they are now, with an hour and 3 minutes, they've averted the fiscal cliff. The stock market goes up over 300 points in one day. Just, you get the sense that your angst over politics is not profiting much. How much grieving, worry, high blood pressure have you experienced over, say, the last 6 months because of the election, because of the fiscal cliff? Are you starting to get the sense that Jesus' words are true when he said, you don't worry about tomorrow. Today's going to take care of itself. Now, that doesn't mean that we aren't doing stuff. But for you to worry about what is going on in Washington, forget about it. Start focusing on the things you actually can control, the things that you actually can have an effect on, like your family, your marriage, your local church. You can have an effect there. Does that mean you're not involved in politics? No, you can be involved in politics. Just watch your balance. And remember, you will have very, very, very drop-in-the-bucket influence in politics. But you can have huge influence on your family, neighborhood, and church. You can have big influence there. Maybe turn it around this year. I think we all suffer from this to a degree, where we think it's got to be big. You know, it's got to be a bestseller. It's got to be in the top 10 list. It's got to affect a ton of people. It's got to make the nightly news. No, it doesn't. You want a big impact. Have a bigger, deeper impact on fewer people. And worry less about Washington, D.C., fiscal cliffs. Vote right. Be engaged. Make sure if you're going to engage on the issue that you do it from a theological standpoint. What's the problem with this latest fiscal cliff? Undoubtedly, you're bugged by it. What's the problem? What's wrong with it? Biblically, theologically, why are we troubled by this debt? What does the Bible say about it? What about an inheritance for our children and our grandchildren? What does the Bible say is the role of the government? Are they doing that? Why not? Why is this bad for society? And explain it biblically. Otherwise, we are going to continue, for the most part, as evangelicals, to be represented by a group of people that make us simply look like another group of people that are lobbying Congress for our way. Hey, I got it. All the prosperity preachers are doing it. We can come up with, Tony, we got to come up with a slogan here. Joey, let's work on a slogan. You know, the rich, the prosperity, you know, an open heaven in 2011. You know, they come, God will take the money off the shelf in 2012. Stuff like that, you know, that they come up to hook you, and then every year they have to come up with a new one because it didn't work, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, last year. So they come up with a new one, 2013. We got to come up
lean
with
lean and mean in 2013.
Okay, not bad. Not terrible. It's going down the right road. I think somehow we maybe, if we could incorporate family, church, maybe throwing something about Tim Tebow would always be good because that can't hurt. Boy, is he getting shellacked these days, the Tim Tebow. Wow. Do those people hate that, Christian? You know, I wonder if all of us shouldn't be as hated as much as Tim Tebow is by ESPN commentators. Boy, that guy's getting shellacked. And he said, you know what? Learn something about Tim Tebow's character. If you didn't hear the scuttle about Tim Tebow, basically Tim Tebow was reported by a non-disclosed anonymous source. Wink, wink. We don't know. In other words, made up fabrication. If somebody doesn't have the courage to put it out there, then you shouldn't trust a word of it, period. That's a good rule. And they said that Tim Tebow didn't want to play a certain position for the team. And Tim Tebow said, no, that's not what I said at all. Well, ESPN guys, he's as phony as a $3 bill. He's just a windbag. Doesn't even want to help his team. And Tim Tebow, I think for the first time ever really spoke out about himself and said, no, that's not true, because my character is far more important to me than this football game. Whew. And I got to tell you something. When he said that, I felt convicted. I thought, have I instilled that in my children? Your reputation, your good name, this is proverbial, is more important than your job, than your fame, than your fortune, than how you do on a football team. Tim Tebow and has demonstrated nothing but, I think, Christian character and class. Didn't like the underwear ads so much, but overall I think he's been spectacular, and they're just hammering him for it. So if we could maybe fit Tim Tebow in, that would be helpful too, just because guy needs a little encouragement right now. So 2013, focusing on the unseen in 2013.
Okay. Faith in the unseen.
Faith in the unseen
in 2013. Gotta go 2013. It just flows better.
Hey, we could use King James English or something. You know, 13th, if that helps us. You know, kind of having faith in 2013th or something. Like, well, we'll work on that and get back.
Yeah.
The point is, maybe just maybe this year we need to do ourselves a little bit of adjusting. Got to tell you something. If we don't do that, and get our local business cleaned up, I think the foundations that we are hoping are going to remain the same are just going to continue to crumble in our society. Here's a story, by the way, that I think is one of the big stories of 2012 that I think is going to be even bigger in 2013. Two words, Hobby Lobby. Have you followed this story at all? If not, you should. And I would like to suggest to you the Hobby Lobby story is really one of the big stories of 2012. Underreported, people not discussing this, Christian circles or other. I've seen a couple. Denny Burke brought it up. Hobby Lobby, privately owned business, Christian family, does not want to give in to Health and Human Services' new demand that they provide abortifacients for their employees under the insurance at the risk of a fine of $1.3 million per day. On Wednesday last, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor denied the company's request for an injunction while their lawsuit is pending, saying the stores failed to satisfy the legal standard for blocking the requirement on an emergency basis. Now, this is important. In ruling against the companies, U.S. District Judge Joe Heaton said churches and other religious organizations have been granted constitutional protection from the birth control provisions, but that Hobby Lobby are not religious organizations. They're a privately held corporation that happens to be owned by religious people. Why do you care? First of all, Hobby Lobby could go out of business, and where are we going to get our knickknacks? I ask you. Number two, if they are willing to threaten, fine, or sue Hobby Lobby for not giving into this demand of the government, which, by the way, I always thought making no establishment that they wouldn't impose any sort of values, that there was a free exercise of religion clause, I thought, in this here country. In fact, specifically, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, unless you don't want to pay for people's birth control. Here's the question. Hobby Lobby now, who is next? Who will be the next business that is forced to do something they don't want to do? Is it possible, say, a photography business who doesn't want to take pictures of the gay wedding? Oh, that's happening right now. How's about the trolley business, I believe in Virginia, in Annapolis, Maryland? They're going out of business because they don't want to give trolley rides to people who are gay who are getting married. Now, there's not a ton of these companies, but it's starting to happen. Companies that are going to have to deal with their Christian conscience and the demands of the government. Here's a question. You're a Christian baker. In walks the gay couple. They want their cake made with Bob and Larry on top of the cake. You're a Christian. You going to do that? You better start thinking this through, because if this keeps going this way for Hobby Lobby, you will be dealing with this. And family will be next on the list. They won't just stop at business. What would you do? Next on Wretched Radio.
You hear it most everywhere. People questioning, doubting Scripture. Can they trust the Bible? Did God really write it? Can you bank your eternity on it? Beyond the Shadow of a Doubt is a 2-DVD set that will prove the Bible is supernaturally inspired by God. And it's as simple as looking inside its pages. Join Todd on a zip-fast tour of the Bible, and in a matter of minutes, you'll know that God wrote this book. Get your copy of Beyond the Shadow of a Doubt today at WretchedRadio.com.
Hey, neighbor, beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about this fence. Remember, we both agreed to pay half.
Bob, instead of reimbursing you, I've decided to become a really good person.
What?
Hey, what's better, getting paid for half a fence or living next door to a great neighbor?
But we had an agreement, and you're not paying me. That's a bad thing.
But I don't do bad things. I'm a good person. Why, I've been doing nothing but good things for a whole year. In fact, the most recent polls show that 99 out of 100 people like me. Doesn't that prove I'm good?
Look, if you're not going to pay me, you could at least admit you wronged me. I'm willing to forgive you, but help me here.
Why do I need your forgiveness? Everybody loves me.
Well, 99 out of 100 anyway.
The Bible declares that because we have sinned, we have wronged God. And any attempt at us being good is fruitless until we first ask God for his forgiveness. Have you asked?
Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
If your marriage is good, make it richer. And if your marriage is, well, awful, there is hope. It can be saved. Join Todd and Rick Thomas from Competent Counseling for Drive-By Marriage. Now, you won't find 10 steps to a happier marriage here. You won't get lectured here. But you will learn how to forget the past, how to argue, and how to genuinely love one another. Drive-By Marriage at WretchedRadio.com. And check out the Joy in the Home bundle for more savings. WretchedRadio.com. Now here's a clip from one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio. This is John MacArthur.
The Apostle Paul in this text is saying you better examine everything. And you better examine it carefully. And you better find out what is good and hold on to it, and what is not and let go of it. That's one of those components in the basics of spiritual living. Unfortunately, the church today has boundless credulity. Anything and everything is accepted. It seems to me that if any one problem outstrips all the others in the church, it is the utter lack of spiritual discrimination that characterizes Christianity. Bad decisions, faulty reasoning, superficial understanding, shallow knowledge, widespread ignorance have contributed more anguish to the church throughout her history than all the persecutions combined. Persecutions have taken their toll. But it is the inside chaos and the inside confusion over doctrine that has left the most scars on the church.
Perfect for your family or personal devotions, Exalted Worship. So great a salvation.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate.
Kirk Cameron will lead you in prayers and confessions.
Though my sins rise to heaven, your merits soar above them.
Scott Crepane brings you profoundly biblical worship songs and hymns.
Eternal truth attends thy word.
Get your copy of Exalted Worship at WretchedRadio.com.
There's a perfectly scientific explanation for what just happened.
And we find many fossils already in an advanced state of evolution the very first time they appear. It is as though they were just planted there without any evolutionary history. Evolutionist Richard Dawkins. He says that the fossils must just appear like that because of imperfections in the fossil record.
My, he is tenacious, isn't he?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I got it here. This is Wretched Radio. Local and lean in 2013. Okay, how's about this one? Whew, can hear the echo come back from that. What did I write? Reclaiming
Mr. Clean
skin.
In 2013.
Better than what I got, frankly.
I don't know what that does, but...
Reclaiming my... We all have to shave our head is what that does. Reclaiming my scene in 2013. Okay, well, we'll keep working on
that one. Let me think on that.
Here's the question, Christian. Are you prepared to figure out how you are going to respond when? Not if, but when the government says you have to. If the Hobby Lobby case goes a bad way, which means the government forces this privately held business to go against its Christian conscience and provide an abortifacient for its employees, I would like to suggest to you, you are going to see the barricades kicked open and you will see a rush of anti-Christian activity unparalleled since the Texas sodomy laws were overturned. That's my prediction for 2013. I think that each and every one of us needs to answer the question. If I were a Christian man, woman, who owned a business and the government said, you've got to, how will I respond? Now, you maybe are thinking, I don't own a business. I have no plan to own a business in 2013. I know that, but somebody you know does. And you are going to see if this goes the way that I suspect. If this avalanche happens the way that I fear, you will know people, or you will read stories. Why don't you figure out your theology now? Because almost certainly somebody in church will be dealing with this. So here's the scenario. By the way, there are plenty of these scenarios. There's a Vermont innkeeper, a pair of Vermont innkeepers, a New Jersey church group, a New Mexico wedding photographer, that are being forced to participate, they feel, in something that goes against their conscience. Providing a room for a gay couple. Baking a cake. Taking pictures. Providing a trolley service. Discover Annapolis Tours. Walked away from $50,000 in annual revenue instead of compromising Christian convictions. Now, what do you think is the right response of the Christian when it comes to the government saying, you've got to? Do you believe that the individual must shut down, go to jail, or provide the service? Let me just share with you some thoughts, recognizing full well that there are going to be different Christians who come up with a different answer to this problem.
Iron. Criticizing. Iron.
All right, so here we go. Hey, David! David! Sonny! Sorry, it's kind of Pavlovian and couldn't help myself.
Thanks for bringing up a painful memory.
You know what just kind of really made me sad? We went out for dinner last Thursday night, and he brought his wife. You know, yes, that sounded great. He'd let his wife out of the house. And she is such a hoot, and we had such a fun time. And just in case, by the way, I've read a couple of things on the internet. Hey, is it possible that this is why David... Was it over this? No.
Oh, yeah.
It was over nothing. David's got mad skills. He's taking them to use them elsewhere. That's all. We're pals. I just texted him. Was it this morning or yesterday morning? Don't worry. All is fine. Nothing. And if anybody says so, it's gossip. Okie dokie. So David isn't here. However, Tony... Joey, yeah. Here's the scenario. You, whether you like it or not, it's Tony and Joey's Bakery, which could start rumors, but just the same. Tony and Joey's Bakery, and in walks the gay couple who says, we're getting married in 6 months, and we want you to bake our wedding cake. Would you bake it for them or not? Yes or no? Just give it to me. Yes or no?
I think I like the one baker that said, We'll bake a cake for you. We'll sell you a cake, but we will not sell you a wedding cake because we don't recognize and...
Okay, so semantics. Yeah. It made them feel a little bit better, but the reality is it's a cake. It's being used for a wedding. You bake it or not? Joey, yes or no?
You know, I think part of
yeesh
me really...
was not one of the options. Yes or no?
It was up there.
On the cake. All right,
well,
you bought yourself some time.
If I gave
would
him
you
that
make
answer...
cake or not? Yeah.
If I gave them that answer, they'd probably hear it as, we will not sell you a cake for the purpose you have intended.
You don't
want to
do it, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
you'd rather not
do it. Yeah.
Okay, Tony, you want to bake a cake for the gay couple who wants it baked in for their wedding. You
don't
want to. Would you?
I don't think I could.
Okay, you don't think you could.
I don't think I could.
Let me just throw out some thoughts by way of just trying to make our way through this, because I'm telling you, this is, you watch. If this Hobby Lobby thing goes sour, I sure hope it doesn't. And if you think the government will stop there, you wait, Mom and Dad, until the government starts saying, oh, yes, you will provide birth control for your children. Oh, yes, you will get a Gardasil shot. You think I'm nuts? Watch. So here's some random thoughts. Is it a sin to bake a cake for somebody's wedding? Now, I know that somebody would say, yes, I am participating in their event, therefore, it's a sin for me. And I get that. Let me just offer another way to look at it. Recognizing that different Christians are going to take different looks at this and come up with a different result, and we need to make sure that we keep that in view, because you will probably be going to church with somebody who has a different take on this than you do. I don't think that either side of this should be considered heretics. This is complicated. It's messy, and it's very unfortunate, but it is the time we are living in. How's about you're not really participating in their service? I mean, you're not married. You're providing a cake for them. Here's a question. If you are a water delivery guy, that's what you do. You work for one of the Calgon or whatever the water companies that bring the bottle. Calgon does that? What?
Yeah, I have a question.
What?
Doug wrote and said, so why don't you just bake the cake, but hide verses in between the layers?
You could. Okay, I get that too. Kind of, you know, like Joey said, there were some people who said, yeah, well, we just won't call it a wedding cake. Okay, well, look, the reality is it is. So we need to work through what we're going to do about this. Now, if you, let's say that you're the water delivery guy, which, by the way, I got to tell you, here's a benefit of David not being here. We're going to save a fortune on water. Dude's a camel. We go through bottles of water. I mean, the big five-gallon jugs like a nobody's business.
That Calgon water?
Uh-huh.
Calgon soap. Culligan water. You can use Culligan in your bath if you're really, you know, if you like your mineral water or whatever. And then you can add Calgon or use Calgon to lather up.
So basically what I hear you doing, Joey, is you seem to be correcting the host of the program. Is that correct?
That's what I do.
Yeah. So here's then what I have to do.
I'm going to get grossed on Deep Talk anyways.
If you don't have the manual,
we're
never wrong. Yeah, pretty much. So actually they're going to start going into the water business. They haven't released that publicly. I just happen to feel led to say that to cover my pride. Okay, so you deliver the water for the whatever, for Calgon, take me away. Wasn't that their deal? Calgon.
That's the one.
Take me away. Okay, here's a commercial that I cited this weekend that nobody remembered. Tony, I think you're going to remember this one. That's funny. Ed never has a second cup of my coffee.
Oh, the Folgers. Was it Folgers?
No. I think it was. One of Maxwell House.
Could have been.
Right?
Maxwell House, yep.
Everybody looked at me and blinked three times, which is the international sign for, we have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, but that's, you know how old that is?
Yeah. Yeah, old enough to actually remember.
Yeah.
Let's just forget about that right now. So let's just say you deliver water to a company. That's your job. And at that company, there are gay people. Are you sinning because you are providing water for them to do their job and make money? I think you'd say, well, no. Okay, now I know it's not a perfect example. I know that. I understand that. It's not a perfect analogy. But is baking a cake or even taking the pictures of the gay couple participating? Now, they are sinning. Okay, their activity is sinning. Might I ask, though, are there other scenarios where you would provide a service? For instance, you're a doctor, you're a nurse. A gay person comes in, they have a malady. Would you help them, or would you say, no, I cannot help you become healthy because that'll allow you to go and live in your sin some more. I will not help you. Or would you provide the service? I know it's not a perfect parallel. Furthermore, just playing through this a little bit, you already, and I, in some sense, are funding sin and participating in sin if our definition is, in any way, shape, or form, we are involved in sinful behavior. Here's at least three ways that we can be doing that. Number one, if you are giving a paycheck to somebody and they're sinning in any way, are you not participating in their sin? Furthermore, let's say you make a cake for a heterosexual couple, but they are, one of them is not a Christian. They're getting unequally yoked. Would you say, I'm sorry, I can't participate in that? I think that's a sin. The Bible makes it clear. You marry Christians, marry Christians. If you're not, then I'm not going to. Would you do that? Or would you go, well, you know, here's another way. Planned Parenthood receives some of your tax dollars. So just like Hobby Lobby, who does not want to because the issue is getting closer. It's getting closer to home is what's going on here. It's a more direct contribution to somebody's sin. They are feeling squeamish about it. But don't we all already contribute to sin by paying our taxes, which Jesus said, pay them. The governments are wicked and corrupt. Pay them. They're doing evil things. Pay your taxes. There's something greater at stake going on than you not paying taxes. Pay your taxes. Live in freedom. Preach the gospel. Raise your family. Be involved in your local church. So you and I are already, in a sense, confronted with the Hobby Lobby issue. And we're going with the program. A third way. Your tax dollars are presently funding government schools, and a lot of your tax dollars are. Your property taxes most likely is the big one, where money is going directly to your local school where they are teaching evolution and sex ed. And there's all forms of sinful behavior going. You're funding that. Now you say, well, that's not direct. Okay, I realize that. But is it possible that we could look at this issue and conclude, all right, if the government tells me I am going to have to participate in their wedding by taking the photographs or baking the cake, is it possible that some Christians could ultimately conclude that is not a sin? I think they could. Now, what would I do? I have to confess to you, I don't know. And I'll tell you, what will really put this to the test, if you're being somewhat glib in your response to this, knock, knock, knock. Who's there? The government. Yeah? Are you providing birth control for your daughter? No, I won't do it. Well, you have to. Would you do it if the government said so? Is it a sin for your daughter to take birth control? Is it a sin? Is it a sin to bake a cake? Is it a sin to provide insurance which will allow some people to use it in a sinful way? Is it a sin to run a trolley system that has got two gay people on it going through Annapolis? We need to work through this. We need to figure this out. And I would like to recommend, like most issues, we should do it before it hits. Because I think it's gonna. It already is. It's starting to happen. So if this maybe doesn't apply to you directly, I would like to suggest to you it might in the future. Second of all, you will know some people. Can I at least suggest maybe some grace toward one another as we disagree in what we would do? Okay, so Tony, you just heard some of my variances, some possibilities. Will you bake the cake for the gay couple or not?
No.
Well, you jerk. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
Criticizing. I'm a hateful jerk.
Kind of a Christian. We must be grace-filled with each other on an issue that I think different Christians are going to have different answers to. And if 2013 goes the way that 2012 went, it's not going to be a good year for Christendom in the West. We will begin, finally, our countdown of the top stories of 2012 next on Wretched Radio.
Most parenting methods teach how to control a child's behavior. Biblical parenting says, change the heart, you'll change the behavior. Drive-by parenting will help you get to the heart of the issue, which is the issue of the heart. Join Todd and best-selling author Dr. Ted Tripp as they share 31 practical lectures on shepherding a child's heart. Get your copy of Drive-By Parenting today and check out the other drive-by resources on marriage, theology, church history, and more at wretchedradio.com.
This is Kay Arthur with precepts from God's Word. Beloved, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Did you hear that? Nothing. If you're at a place in your life where you're experiencing great trials, it's crucial that you remember the declaration of faith penned by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Listen with your heart, beloved. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul had been beaten, stoned, robbed. He had been hungry and thirsty. This is the man who testified that nothing could separate him from the love of God. Beloved friend, God loves you. This is Kay Arthur with precepts from God's Word.
Pornography is an epidemic, and no one's immune. Men, women, children, pastors, anyone can be affected. And the epidemic is growing. If you can't break the porn addiction, get Slaying the Dragon. We believe this CD has two principles that everyone needs to hear to slay the dragon of pornography. Why put your career, your family, even your soul at risk? Don't let porn win. Get Slaying the Dragon now at wretchedradio.com.
Biblical marriage, not tolerated? This is Ken Ham, whose ministry produces groundbreaking Bible curricula. You know, most secularists pride themselves on being tolerant, at least to a point. They love to say that all views on religion or all lifestyles are acceptable, but there's one thing they won't tolerate, what God's Word says about marriage. Now, Scripture makes it clear that God created marriage when he gave Eve to Adam. And when Jesus explains marriage, he uses a historical account in Genesis as his starting point. In Romans, Paul uses very strong words for those who reject the biblical marriage of one man and one woman. You see, there's no gray area here. God's intent for marriage is male and female. You see, so-called tolerance is really about letting humans decide what's right. It's about rejecting our Creator and his Word.
Were Adam and Eve real people? You'll find answers to this and many other questions when you visit AnswersInGenesis.org. Go to AnswersInGenesis.org.
Listen and learn, and be ready to give an answer with Wretched Radio's Creation in the Gospel. Listen to Todd and experts from Answers in Genesis. Learn to debunk Darwin. Learn to find out the effects of the flood on evolution. Learn to make the connection from creation to the gospel. With these eight lessons, you won't be intimidated when you talk with evolutionists ever again. So be ready to give an answer. Get your copy of Creation and the Gospel today at wretchedradio.com.
Now listen, Grapehead. I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Back in 1895, Robert Wiedersheim listed 180 vestigial organs. A vestigial organ is supposed to be non-functioning, left over from a previous evolutionary stage. Since the compilation of Wiedersheim's list, important biological functions have been discovered for every one of these so-called vestigial organs.
That is a scientific fact!
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What you're about to hear is an actual professional radio tease announcement.
This is Wretched Radio. Get ready.
I thought I could give it a go and just see how it works.
No, okay, get ready. Now look at what you're... Get ready.
My tour.
Next hour.
Interrupting you.
We'll discuss.
Again.
This song.
Got if I could have a beer with Jesus.
That's right. If I could have a beer with Jesus.
Yeah. You saying Jesus wouldn't have beer?
Oh, boy.
Don't you think?
Well, coming from the Lutheran, I'm not shocked that you maybe like this idea. Next hour, we will play Iron Sharpening Iron. I was driving along, because that's how you get from one place to the other. And I got the country radio station on, because I have to confess, more and more, the music of the kids these days just makes me bonkers. And I'm at least finding a little solace in country western music. At least...
It's God's music.
It's not quite so thumpity-thumpity, bumpity-brutal. It's sort of like the music of the day, the kids... It's kind of like the 80s, just a little bit more
icky.
It's all just a little too techno. It just all seems electronic to me. Well, not many of the kids can sing these days. I just
you
would kids, like to hear some...
turn that noise down.
I want to hear somebody sing. Does anybody have the ability to just hold a note these days?
No, so without auto-tune.
Not without auto-tune. You're right. No. I'm thinking about making a record. I mean, sell four copies. My
auto-tune
kids, well, they
can only
would,
do so
I'd have
much,
to give it
dude.
To them. Well, I think that they could, you know, really... Hey, if it could work for Paula Abdul.
That's
I'm just
true.
Saying it could work.
Joey maybe, could dress it up.
For me. Joey, could you make me sound like I can carry a tune?
Talk to hip-hop.
And the passing and of time no. begins.
Poor Joey has probably had to hear more of my singing than anybody else. And I'm hey,
you
Joey!
You just don't want to know how much I've got recorded.
No. You know, it's blackmail's hey, it's a sin even for a Presbyterian, you
not
know.
Blackmail if I'm not asking for money.
Yeah, I was going to say, different people save for retirement different
shame.
Ways.
Joey and I just finished doing, what did we just finish doing this morning, Joey?
Drive-by Newman Who.
That is exact, well, we debated over the title. Because the idea of doing Drive-by Holy Spirit, sorry, just too wrong sounding.
So Drive-by Newman Who.
The theology of the Holy Spirit. Joey's advice was, let's do Newman Who to compliment Herman Who.
Yeah.
He was voted down, I'm afraid.
By who? I never got a vote. Down.
Pretty much everybody. Herman Who's bad enough. Newman Who, not going to cut it. So we just finished it this morning. And Joey, I like it. I'm very, very pleased mm-hmm. with the way that it has turned out. Because to my surprise, I didn't plan it. I don't have the ability to plan stuff like this. The presentations that were done at the Psalm 119 conferences on the theology of the Holy Spirit, it floated to the top. We did hear theology about the Holy Spirit, but as much as we heard theology, we heard application. And so we broke up Newman Who, just so Joey doesn't play that stuff that he's got recorded on me.
Hey.
We broke it up into two chapters, theology and application. Now, there's application in the theology and theology in the application, but basically did two major chapters. Because I think the million-dollar question that everybody asks ultimately about the Holy Spirit, okay, once I learn all of the things that he does, and he does a lot, we have a tendency to think, well, the Holy Spirit seems to be kind of the less active member of the Trinity. No, no, he's not. Everybody who gets saved, you can thank the Holy Spirit. That's a lot of work right there. The inspiration of the scriptures, the illumination of these scriptures. By the way, we define or try to define what that means. How much does the Holy Spirit teach you about the Bible? That's important. Because do we not see disagreements inside of the church today? One person believes this. Okay, look what you got right here. You got a Lutheran, a Presbyterian. There's a difference right there in baptism. And then you throw in my correct view of believer's baptism. Look at three different people indwelt by the Holy Spirit and yet disagreeing. So why isn't the Holy Spirit illuminating those two so that they've got it right? That's a question we try to answer on Newman Who.
I ask
soon to be available at wretchedradio.com. So once you go through all of the attributes of the Holy Spirit, that he's the comforter, he's the walk-alongsider, he is the illuminator. He's the convictor, not just of the world. Yes, he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but he also convicts us as believers when we sin. And one of the things that we discussed in Newman Who, soon to be available at wretchedradio.com, was that that should be a bit of comfort to you if you are one of those Christians and they are legion. Can you use legion when it doesn't have to do with the devil? I think you can.
You can.
A lot of Christians that struggle with this, they discover they have a new sin area in their life, and their walk gets hampered. They get wobbly. The Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, even as a believer. If you are a believer and you never feel convicted of your sin, that's a problem. Because as a believer, you are still sinning, and the Holy Spirit, therefore, still should be convicting you of it. And if you never feel conviction for your sin, not just the results, but because you've sinned against God, something's wrong in your walk. But if you are one of those individuals, you feel conviction, that should help you to know that the Holy Spirit is in you and active. Not that he has been removed from you because of your sin. That dreadful feeling is conviction of the Holy Spirit. Listen to that. and let that actually encourage you that you are a believer. Now, note this. It could be that you're an unbeliever. The Holy Spirit is convicting of you of your sin. That doesn't mean that you're a believer. You still have to have repented and put your trust in Jesus. That conviction still needs to be not just over the consequences, but over the fact that you've sinned against heaven, you've sinned against God, against you, and you only have I sinned. So just because you're feeling conviction of sin, it doesn't guarantee that you're a believer. It could be that you're unregenerate and he's convicting you to get you saved. So I would say this, though, if you are feeling genuinely, genuinely convicted of your sin, not bummer, I got caught conviction. You're genuinely convicted over your sin. That means you either are saved or you are in the process of being saved. Either one should provide you a little bit of comfort. And so all of that is in Newman Who, a.k.a. Drive-By Pneumatology, the Theology of the Holy Spirit. I think it's going to be available in a couple of weeks. It will be done. It's all the lectures from the Psalm 119 conferences put into an order that builds on itself, starting with the theology, moving then into the application. Dealing with some controversial issues, speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is that all about? Is there a second filling of the Spirit? And the million-dollar question then, once you learn all this stuff, is how do I get more? I want more of the Holy Spirit. How do you get more? That is perhaps the part of Drive-By Newman Who. Is that how it could Drive-By Who?
Exactly.
See what you did there, Joey? Speaking of sin, how to know sin when it masquerades as good? An article by Paul Tripp in Christian Post. How to know sin when it masquerades as good? Some great stuff, again, from Paul Tripp. Though the power of sin has been broken, the presence of sin remains. Did you hear that, Wobbly Kneed Christian? Though the power of sin has been broken, sin should not have command over your life. The law has no authority, but the presence of sin remains. We are still in this fleshly body. You don't have two natures, you have one new nature, but you still have this nagging, clinging flesh that falls, that desires the pigsty. So it's vital that we remember the deceitfulness of sin. As a Christian, you're saved, all sins forgiven. But that doesn't mean the devil doesn't want you to sin. He does. Because it grieves the Holy Spirit. And any shot that he can take at God through you, he's gonna. He's that way, you know. And this is a great reminder. This is so helpful. This is something that I think children should learn early on. Sin is a liar. It's a liar. Sin tells you, do this because you will feel like that. Do this and you will get that. Perform like this and your reward will be that. It's lying. And so you need to be able to identify what sin is so you can avoid it, because it's going to be whispering, come on, come on. Paul Tripp, life in a fallen world is like attending the ultimate masquerade party. One, an impatient moment of yelling wears the costume of zeal for truth. Oh, that stupid preacher. No, I'm just a good discerner is what I am. He's a jerk. And I've got the gift of discernment. Do you have a zeal for truth? Really? Or is that masquerading at a sin of anger, of yelling? Number two, lust masquerades as a love for beauty. You know, I just appreciate the female form. Really? Is that the truth? Or is sin lying to you? Well, you know, I follow that girl's career because I just really want to see how she's doing. I'm hoping she's going to become a Christian. Really? Maybe it's something like, I'm just going to watch that show just to see what's out there in the world. What's MTV up to these days? Is it really as bad as people say? Is it possible that that is a lie masquerading as the truth? Number three, gossip lives in the costume of concern and prayer. Wow. And you thought Halloween was a day when people dress up. Sin is constantly masquerading as something else. Craving for power and control wears the mask of biblical leadership. Have you used biblical leadership to just impose yourself on other people? I can't answer that. I'm not accusing you. Ask yourself. I don't know. Fear of man gets dressed. By the way, it doesn't have to be. Okay, it doesn't have to be. For instance, it could be that you are just, you're flat out gifted. And you should do that. It doesn't have to be. Only you can know whether or not you're lying to yourself and being lied to. Fear of man gets dressed up as being a peacemaker or having a servant's heart. Is that you, possibly? You say that you're, you know, I just have to serve, I just have to serve. But underneath it, really, is a concern that if you don't, people will think lowly of you because you live in bondage to others' opinions of you. Is that possible? Ask yourself, I don't know. Pride in always being right masquerades as a love for biblical wisdom. I have no idea what Tripp is talking about there. Do you always have to be right? No, it's about defending the truth. That's what this is. Really? Now ask, it can be very careful. We got to be careful. And it could be a mixture of both, quite honestly. That's why it's so frightening to me. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, you'll be judged, not for your sins, Christian, but for your works on two levels, your rightness and your motive. You'll never understand sin's sleight of hand until you acknowledge that a significant part of the DNA of sin is deception. And we're all much better at seeing the sin, the weaknesses, the failures of others than we are of seeing our own. Good at being intolerant in others, the very things that we tolerate in ourselves. In fact, could it be that one of the things that you really rail against is the very thing that you love inside of your heart? I'm not trying to be all psychoanalyzy here. I'm just asking you to examine your heart. The bottom line is that sin causes us to not hear or see ourselves with accuracy. Here's a good sign that you're being deceived. Right now, as you hear these words from Paul Tripp, you're going, that's not me. None of that is me. Come on. Some of this is me. Some of this was Paul. He admitted it. Why was he able to admit it? Just heard this in Drive-By Newman Who-otology. Because he was confident in the gospel. Milton Vincent was preaching on it. Because he knew that the gospel said forgiven. He was able to confess, yes, I am the wretched man, the chief of sinners. You can be blind, but you should be open to examining yourself and then free to confess it because of the gospel. Until next time, go serve your king.